Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go.
Levels are set. Proper modulation. Let's go.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And it will around and round on heaven's wheel. Father Jesus, I'm an outlaw, killer, and a thief. And I slowed down on leader, so my grief. I'm high.
Pete right now. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We are served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Always a pleasure to bring back Pete Doherty, Outlaw Pete of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Good morning, Mr. Outlaw.
Hey, Pete.
I will never not find that funny.
I told Bart before you came out, I said, this song always gets a chuckle out of Pete at least.
Yeah, it's funny. It is. It's that in the supermarket. That's the two songs that I can't believe Bruce put on his album.
We extended that a little this time. Maybe next time we talk to Pete, we'll play the full 8-minute song.
Our Christmas Eve show.
Yeah, and then we'll talk to Pete.
Yeah, so, right, I think so. Pete, you know, this Packer victory, 20-15. I just told Bart a little while ago. I said you know, if Guy stays in that game for the Redskins and doesn't get hurt, maybe that's a different ball game than 20-15 Pack.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I do a weekly tape review with Eric Baranchek up here, and he that was one of his first observations was he thought if Geist didn't get hurt, that's a much different game because he's a really talented runner. You know, Washington's got a horrible record. The way they played under Callahan's been better, so they're probably not quite as bad as that record. So maybe the loss or the Packers' narrow win looked a little worse than it actually was.
How much, I mean, should style points matter? We watched the Packers against the Giants, and they scuffled for a little bit before they pulled away. This Washington game, even though Washington was in it via the score, I never worried that the Packers weren't going to win this game. When we've been talking to people, Pete, it's been, yeah, it's nice to beat these teams, but I think what still is in the heads of a lot of Packer fans is how they looked against San Francisco on that Sunday night. And in these last 2 weeks, we really haven't seen anything that come playoff time, they'll be any better than they were a couple Sundays ago.
Yeah, that San Francisco game made a really stark impression on a lot of people, and for reason. I mean, it was the second really bad game that they played, with the other being against the Chargers. So I get that. And, you know, that the style points thing is kind of yes and no. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, you rack up the wins, you get in the playoffs. A win's a win. They are tough to come by in the NFL. All those things are true. You know, the one thing is, usually the very best teams, you know, the top couple teams, their winning differential is usually pretty big. Like, I think if you historically go to the league and you look at Super Bowl winners and teams that get to the Super Bowl, I think it's teams with pretty high, you know, relative to the rest of the league, winning differential get there. So it does matter some because it's an indication of how dominant you are. And they've had a lot of closer games, like more like the Washington game than like the Giants game.
Are the Packers a few pieces away, though, from contending for a Super Bowl? I mean, they're 10-3. It's weird to say that, but I think I might take a little heat when I say that I think next year might be this year, and this is kind of a feeling out year, and that all the pieces might not be in place just yet.
Yeah, they're probably. You know, I think they could really use another talented player on offense to make some plays. I think they could use a little help at D-line. I don't think they're good enough at inside linebacker. You know, they're going to lose some people, too. Another year in, you know, getting into a second season in LaFleur's system will probably make a difference for the offense, too. So, actually, when they hired LaFleur, my thinking was, well, they're probably, you know, realistically shooting to be a contender again in 2020. But they're at least in the hunt, and you never know when things can come together for a team. I mean, I still always think back to 2010. They were, 8-6 or 8-5 and about to lose their sixth game in that season at this time. I don't think anybody considered them a title contender. And some guys kind of, you know, came out of the woodwork down the stretch and made a big difference for them.
Do they need – is there a tight end on this roster who you feel that they can go forward and he could be a tight end that – maybe it's Big Bob Tonyan. I mean, that they feel like in the next few years he could be a playmaker. Is he on this roster? They got to go draw in free agency or draft one or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. With they've drafted Steinberger to kind of be that Sternberger to be that guy. And it's tough for most rookie tight ends. It's pretty rare when a rookie tight end has a big season. So we really don't have a good feel for him, especially because he was hurt for most of the season. On IR. So I'm not sure. I would say, when they're picking in the first round, if there's a really talented tight end available and they really like the guy and think he's the best player on the board, they should take him. Because I don't think anything they've got at tight end is a sure thing, and they just need to upgrade, their pass-catching talent, whether it's at tight end or receiver.
Pete, I'm watching some of the tape back from Sunday's game. Pete Doherty joining us, Chuck and Winkler, here on The Fan. And there's some plays, because I'm trying to figure out why Rodgers has the ball for as long as he does. I know that's been a complaint for a while. So I'm watching some plays. I time it 1, 2, 3, pause. And I see three receivers that ran three routes, all just kind of going deep on a 1st and 10. So I'm pretty convinced, all right, these routes that they're running, not great. I watch a little more of the game, the play that Rodgers fumbled. I see he could have gone to Devontae, and then he could have gone to Devontae again. Why do you think is the offense sputtering? I thought that with LaFleur's offense, we'd see more routes designed on routes, and we'd see more of a quick kind of delivery from Aaron Rodgers, as if you look at the numbers, his passer rating always good when he's able to do that. What's happened between when the offense was looking good and now to why it's kind of been sputtering out like this?
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly why. I mean, this is starting to get into stuff where, truth be told, we're all out of our depth. It gets pretty complicated, the game planning and I don't know an offensive playbook. So, we're getting a little out of our depth here, but they had those four games with Adams out and they played exactly the way you described how I think all of us thought LaFleur's offense was going to look. Ball coming out fast, spread around, and we haven't seen that for the last 5 weeks. I suspect it's a combination of, Rodgers has historically his entire career had a tendency to hold the ball. I think he, one, likes to make the really big play, and two, he is not going to throw interceptions. So he doesn't throw guys open like some other quarterbacks do, and he also doesn't throw the interceptions that other quarterbacks do. And then some of it's probably, just dialing up the wrong plays at the wrong time, or maybe LaFleur is trying to get some deep shots here and there that like on that 1st and 10, maybe that was LaFleur's call, and so that was just a bad call at that time. So it's probably a combination of both, but I can't tell you exactly why. All I can tell you is I see the same thing that you do, and am wondering why they can't play like they did in those four games more often. Nobody expects them to move it up down the field and score 40-plus a game, but it's been really, really choppy the last 5 games.
Packers good enough to get to win these final 3 games, and especially this improving Bears team. I think that's coming in the Lambeau Field.
I think it's going to be a tough game, Chuck. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people do. Bears have a defense, and Trubisky's running more, and that he's better when he does that, so he gives them a chance. I think they can win them. I wouldn't bet on them winning them. I would if I had to just absolutely place a bet, I would bet, you know, 2-1 with a loss at Minnesota. But sure, they could win all three, and then they're sitting there with a bye week at the wild card and hosting a divisional round. One win, and you're in the championship game.
You know what we haven't seen from LaFleur yet is him playing a team for a second time, as now he's got the full gamut of the NFC North again. I think there's been games where LaFleur afterwards, Pete, you watch some of these press conferences, win or lose, and you guys are right there. It's like he I think you could tell he's learning a lot still in this first year about how to make adjustments, what to do in certain situations. Have you seen a growth in him do that over the course of the season so far?
Well, especially, yeah, in the middle of the season. And the one thing he's done is, you know, they generally have started really well. So his scripts and the plays he wants to run early are working. So it's that maybe adjusting in-game that's still up and down. You know, that's why one of the reasons I picked him at 8-8 is I figured he would have cost him, you know, a couple games by now just, you know, learning the ropes. Because think about it, you know, he only called plays for the first time last year. And obviously he's never been a head coach before. Then you compare that with, like, Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, who was a coordinator back in, like, 09, I think, was his first year as a coordinator. So he's been doing that a long time, and he's been a head coach for – this is his third season. So that's a – even though they're really similar in age, that's a huge difference in experience. So I think the learning curve for LaFleur is going to be, you know, pretty steep for his first, you know, at least year. And then he'll have the offseason to – kind of soak it all in and go over all the game tapes. And, you know, I would suspect we'll see a more sophisticated coach next year.
Outlaw Pete, we appreciate your sophistication and your time. We will talk to you again soon. And again, we'll play the full music before we do. Whether you want to be on the line for that or not is up to you, but we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, thanks for having me. And yes, I will be listening.
Pete Doherty joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Likes the name Outlaw Pete. Maybe doesn't like the song too much from Bruce Springsteen.
Also known as the Duke. There used to be a wrestler, a jobber wrestler in the WWF called Pete Doherty. They called him, he was from Dorchester. They called him the Duke of Dorchester. So he's the Duke.
Yeah, we refer to him off the air as the Duke.
The Duke.
And then we bring him on the air as Outlaw Pete.
Well, we never call him the Duke.
He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.